But we've been working on a series here for a number of weeks titled Honoring Others, and we've been looking at specific topics throughout, honoring our parents, honoring our spouses, and today specifically we're going to look at honoring those who serve the Lord. And this actually means all of you who are Christians. So some of the scriptures relate specifically to ministers sent by God, but it also relates to Christians who serve God. There should be honor going back and forth. So we're going to look at that today, the importance of it, and what scripture has to say about that. And again, all of these topics that we're looking at about honor are not just for information purpose. They're because I want you and myself to be practicing honoring others. So I've asked this question at each of the services now, and you have to be really honest. Since we started this series on honoring others, how many people have honored others? But here's what I want you to do. I'm giving homework this weekend. Your homework is to, when you're at home, make sure, take some time and ask the Lord who you should honor. Now, maybe you already know. You know, sometimes even just as I'm talking, you're like, I know who I want to honor. And it's not, I'm not talking about me, so please don't go there. I realize it's October, Pastor Appreciation. So I'm talking about outside of the church, okay? It might be a friend you have in the church or whatever. But who can you honor and then do that? So if you're not sure how, you can ask the Lord. If you're like, I don't know, how do you honor people? I haven't given you a lot of specifics, but I know you're as smart as me and you can Google how to honor others. Or you can Google how to honor my spouse. But I want to encourage you, hey, if you really aren't sure how, find out. I really don't feel that I need to give you, you know, baby steps how to do it. You're grown-ups, figure out how to honor others. And the thing about it, each individual feels honored sometimes differently. So if I just gave you a, just do this, that person might not feel honored the way I said. So think about it. Who can you honor and then do it? At the end of the 9 a.m. service, as we were praying, one of the things that came out really strong was for, in that service, but was for a parent or maybe a couple of parents, were supposed to honor their kids. Now, we did a whole message on honoring your parents, but I really felt God saying you can also honor your kids. So I thought, well, that's cool. So somebody gets to try that. But anyhow, I just brought that out as well. So I want you to practice what we're bringing out. And here's the thing, opportunities to honor others don't just fall out of the sky, you have to make them. You really do. Honoring opportunities, you have to think about it, you have to make them. Okay, is that all right? You guys are okay with that? So you think of somebody you can honor. It could be a boss, it could be a spouse, it could be a fellow Christian friend. There's no limit to who you can honor. All right, but you've got to do that this week because next week I'm going to ask the question again. And I want to see your hands. And it's actually not complicated, guys. It really isn't. Don't think it's complicated. When you go Google it this week, you're going to see it's pretty easy, actually. It could be as simple as giving someone a thank you card. It could be just as simple as, you know, with others around, acknowledging how important this person is to you. So it isn't difficult. It could be, you just hand a little gift card to somebody and you don't say anything. So there's a whole bunch of different ways, all right? So who's going to honor somebody this week? You're going to do it. And I'm not talking about me, okay. A few of you put your hand up. I'm going to ask you next week, so just be ready. All right, honoring those who serve the Lord. Our key verse, Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So this is our key verse and we are told that we need to delight, even be joyful in honoring other people. And the thing about being joyful and delighting in honoring somebody else, you have to be outward focused. You cannot be selfish. If you're selfish or only think about me, myself, and I, You won't be able to honor others. It's just a fact. You can't. Because the very act of putting them before you means that you've already dealt with, this isn't all about me. Okay? So you have to become unselfish to honor others. The definition of honor in this scripture has the idea of value, respecting, treating someone special as though they were nobility, and also in there the idea of money or cost to you to honor them. Okay? So clearly this is something we should be doing all the time for those around us. And specifically today, talking about honoring those who serve the Lord. That could be a minister, but it could be the person sitting next to you in the chair. Because they are someone who serves God. And they have gifts, special gifts by God placed in them. And we need to honor one another. Psalms 15, 1 to 5. Psalms chapter 15, 1 to 5. Says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. So the line, of course, that I'm looking at today, and I gave you a lot of context there, is that line that people who serve God, that come into his temple, that would be called his. Ones that please him are people who know how to honor faithful followers of the Lord. John chapter 5 and verse 23. John chapter 5 and verse 23 says, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. So Scripture gives a clear explanation here that when you honor someone sent from God, you are actually honoring God. Which also means that if you dishonor someone sent from God, you are dishonoring God. Okay, that's a fact in Scripture. And you, if you are a Christian, are one of God's followers gifted by him, that includes you as well. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. I'm reading this verse that you see and understand that honor was a part of the church right from the beginning. Honor was supposed to be a part of the culture of God's church. And I want us to have that same type of culture, honoring one another every time we get a chance. And it says in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads up the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. So the elders and those who serve should be honored. Now here's a point I want to make by giving you some scriptures and some stories, and it's this. Honoring those who serve the Lord allows us to receive from them and from the Lord through them. Did you catch that? When you honor someone sent from God, it allows you to receive from them and from the Lord working through them. However, if you dishonor someone sent from the Lord, you cannot receive from them or from the Lord through them. And sometimes there's a consequence as well, according to Scripture. So let me go there and explain it as we go. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 to 58. Matthew 13, 53 to 58. When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country and he returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told them this, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. You see, they did not honor him as one sent from God, and because they were unable to honor him, they could not receive from him. Jesus was willing and ready to heal everybody who came to him and wanted healing, but they dishonored him and didn't even come for healing. They caused themselves to miss out big time. But you see how that could play in today. If you came with that attitude, oh, that's not the favorite one I want, you would be guaranteeing that you cannot receive during the worship service through Kirsty what God was wanting to do. You would automatically block yourself. Because, well, you know them and they're just so-and-so. Anybody who God is using is not just so-and-so. They are people who aren't perfect that God is saying, I'm using in this moment. And we need to honor that and receive it. Honor that and receive it. You and I need to make sure that we honor those God sends, not because we think they're amazing. Do you know there's a kind of an attitude with people, and maybe it's Christians, but often if someone is from far, far away, we think they must be amazing and we're ready to receive from them. If I called up and brought in a minister from the States, you know, maybe he had a TV program or something, everybody would come ready to, this guy's awesome. It's just part of who we are, and yet sometimes it's just because you don't know them. You only see what's online. You only see what's put out on the TV or whatever you're watching. I knew a pastor, and I'm going to say long, long ago, far, far away. I just want to get this story out. But I was good friends with the pastor, and we would talk from time to time, and I was in evangelism at that time. And I remember, you know, he would sometimes say what happens when you're pastoring, and, you know, there's this person, they do this, and this one seems to want to control, and this one never agrees with me, and, you know, different things. And I remember thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not a pastor. I was an evangelist then. But anyhow, I would visit with him, and I remember one time he said to me, you know, it's enough now, I'm moving somewhere else. I'm going to go pastor in another town because this person's like this and this person's like this. And it must have been a Holy Spirit moment because I knew nothing about pastoring. And I said to him, I looked at him when he was done and I said, you know what? When you move to that other town, all of those same people will be there. They'll just have different names. And his mouth dropped. And he said, no. Yes. Isn't it amazing how the other town, because you don't know anybody yet, looks so amazing? But I've found something out over the years. Sometimes if you are annoyed or having issues with people, the actual issue is with you. And God's brought those people into your life because he wants to work on you. When God brings people around you, other Christians, show them honor, be willing to receive from them, because God's working on you. If you're only willing to receive from perfect people, then you'll receive from no one, because there's no such thing. Jesus was the only perfect one. And they crucified him and hung him on a cross. You need to be willing to receive from those that God brings around you. I'm not simply speaking of a minister. I'm speaking the ones God brings around you. And if you're very annoyed with somebody right now, then I want you to examine your own heart and say, God, is there something I need to receive from that annoying person? Because here's the funny thing. God can use people that you don't like. Yes, he can. He uses you, and some people don't like you. Like, oh, what a revelation. Okay, I'm going on that a bit, but I really want us to learn to honor others. I realize also that there are men and possibly women who have abused the authority and power of being a minister or being a Christian with a gift. You know, and I apologize for that, but please don't cause other people's mistakes to make you no longer receive from him and through them. You can't do that. If you've become bitter towards ministers or bitter towards any Christian who says they have a prophetic gift, or maybe bitter towards someone who says they have a healing gift, that's an issue you got to deal with. It will stop you from receiving from others. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 is a story from the Old Testament where dishonor was shown to the prophet Elijah. And in this story, it had a terrible consequence. Now, I will emphasize this was Old Testament, and I will show you that there's a change in the New Testament. But listen to the story anyways, because it tells the heart of how God feels when there's dishonor coming to those he sends. And I also want to say, I don't feel that from you. God's given me this message, and honestly, every service, I'm like, God, why am I sharing this? I know these people. They love me. So this is not aimed at anybody. Please understand that. But I think God wants to reassure us, maybe even wants to confirm to some of you, you're doing all right. Keep going. Verse 9, then he sent an army captain with 50 soldiers to arrest him. Okay, I got to give you the backstory, or you're going to be wondering, what's going on? The king of Israel at that time is very sick, and the king of Israel tells some of his people, I want you to go inquire of this false god in another city to see if I'm going to live. This king, who is a king over God's people, doesn't even want to ask God. He wants to ask a false god. So the Spirit of God tells Elijah, there's some men going right now to go inquire for the king. I want you to meet them, and I want you to tell them that the king, because he went to go to a false god, is going to die. Well, there's a message you wouldn't want to give, but the prophet Elijah heads out there. He meets him, tells him the message. They go back to the king and say, yeah, this guy met us, said he's a prophet, and said, you're trying to ask a false god, you are going to die. And the king says, well, who was he? What did he look like? And they say, well, he had leather underwear and he's really hairy. That's what they said about Elijah. And the king said, oh, that's Elijah. So apparently he was known for his taste in dress and in being hairy. Everybody knew who he was. Some of you are like, oh boy, I wouldn't want to meet him. You probably wouldn't want to meet him. But he says, okay, go and bring Elijah to me. In other words, go arrest him and bring him to me. And so he sends, as we first read, a captain with 50 soldiers to arrest Elijah. They found him sitting on top of a hill, and the captain said to him, man of God, the king has commanded you to come down with us. And Elijah replied to the captain, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men. Then the fire fell from heaven and killed them all. Amen. What a terrible story. What just happened? This captain and his 50 had zero regard for Elijah and his authority under God. Zero. And his comment was, man of God, you better do what I just want you to do right now because the king commands it. And fire comes down and kills him and his 50. So the king, I'm going to read you some more of the story. You can read it all at home. The king then sends another captain with 50 more men. And this captain comes, finds Elijah. It kind of feels like he's in the same area, possibly on the same hill. And he comes and says, man of God, the king's commanded you to come down with us. And Elijah says, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and kill you and your 50. Fire comes down from heaven and kills them all. Now, when I read this story, I am shocked at the attitude of the second captain. You know, the first captain showed no honor, paid a price. The second captain comes along. There is no doubt in my mind that there are 50 burnt people laying there. What is he thinking? Is he not able to realize something really bad went on here? I should maybe have an attitude adjustment? But no. Did you know I've met people who have a brick wall to believing that God is real or that he has power? Apparently that captain had a brick wall. He was blinded. And he does the same thing. Now you're thinking, this sounds so harsh. It may sound harsh, but here's the thing. The king was sending these men to arrest him, bring him in front of him, and if he had had a captain who had no honor for his position, they would have killed him for that prophecy. And God knew it. So the king sends a third captain with his 50. And the third captain is a whole lot smarter. He goes up the hill and he bows down before Elijah. And he says, "Man of God, have mercy on me and my 50. Complete honor and respect for the authority that Elijah had under God. And because of his respect and authority, the Holy Spirit said to Elijah, "You can go with this man." He was now going to go with a captain who would protect him. Because you see, the captain's attitude showed that he revered Elijah's position above the king's position. Because he was commanded by the king to take him by force. Do you see that? He goes back with this captain to the king and declares the very same word. "You've went to a false god, you'll die." And typically, if that had happened, they would have said, "Kill him." But we know they didn't kill him because he was with a captain who honored him. Now, this story may seem harsh and you're like, "Wow, that is crazy." I do want to say that this was an Old Testament story, and Jesus shows us in the New Testament that that is not what he wants done any longer. Without reading it for sake of time, in Luke chapter 9, 52 to 56, I'm just going to tell you where it is if you want to read it. Jesus sends some disciples to make ready in a town of Samaria, and they're rejected. And two of the disciples say, "Well, should we call down fire from heaven and kill them all?" And they get rebuked. And in the King James Version, Jesus says, "You don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy people's lives, but to save them." So I am so thankful that we live in a New Testament time where fire doesn't come down from heaven and kill people who dishonor those sent by God. You know why I'm thankful for that? Because we'd all be burnt. I'm being honest, I've dishonored a minister before. I have. Have you ever dishonored? Sure you have. You heard somebody, "That guy's a phony." You don't know if he's a phony, you just don't like what he said. We probably all have. So I am thankful the fire doesn't come down and burn us all. But I do believe we can learn and grow and begin to honor and receive from others. Did you know we do not have to ever dishonor a minister? Even on social media, maybe there's a minister you think is a kook, or you think they are just out there. Well, that's fine. Pray for them and leave it alone. You don't have to dishonor them, and you don't have to listen to them. Okay? There's nowhere where we need to be the minister cop. "You're stupid. I don't like you." Just don't. Practice honoring the ones that you do know are godly and are making a difference, okay? So honestly, if you're on social media and you want to run somebody down who's in ministry, stop and instead find somebody that you agree with and put something that will encourage. All right? There's my social media lesson for today. So we know that Jesus doesn't want that to happen. I want to finish today by talking about Jesus and how he feels grieved over Jerusalem because they rejected God's messengers and obviously the message that was brought. So I'm going to end with these two verses. Luke 13, 34 to 35 says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned, and you will never see me again until you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here Jesus is grieving over Jerusalem, God's chosen city. And he says, "You've been abandoned, and you won't see my presence until you have an attitude adjustment and you can say blessings on those sent by God." In other words, until you are able to honor those sent by God, you will not have my presence. Whoa! That is unbelievable. Hey, can I tell you something? And I know, as I share this, I'm like, I know you guys get this, but for some reason God is saying share it. And these messages are recorded and go online. Maybe it's for others too. But listen, if you're in a spot where you can't seem to feel the presence of the Lord anywhere, you need to take an attitude check on you. And I can almost guarantee it's because you're not able to honor people that God sends your way. Whether it's because you know them or you don't think they know as much as you. Pride is the number one thing that will keep you from honoring. Do you know that? If you think you know more than every other minister, you're not going to receive from them. That's pride. Drop it. Let it go. God wants us to be humble enough to honor others, not because they're perfect, not because they're our favorite, that because he works through individuals and he sends them and puts them around us. Luke 19, 41 to 44. I just want to stick to this. I don't want to get a whole nother area going at this time, okay? But you guys that saw that, go ahead and read it. Some of you are like, the detective types. You're like, I'm checking this out after. Good. Luke 19, 41 to 44. "When the city came into view, he wept over it." This is Jesus talking about Jerusalem again. He begins to weep. It's God's chosen city, his chosen people, the place where the temple is that he would dwell in and come down by his presence. And he weeps. And he says, "If you had only recognized this day," and I'm reading from the message here if you're wondering why it's a bit different, "and everything that was good for you, but now it's too late. In the days ahead, your enemies are going to bring up their heavy artillery and surround you, pressing in from every side. They'll smash you and your babies on the pavement. Not one stone will be left intact. All this because you didn't recognize and welcome God's personal visit." Did you catch that? They didn't recognize or welcome God's personal visit. Because he chose to have his personal visit through his son who was born to a carpenter, born to a poor family in a town called Nazareth, where they used to say, there's nothing good can come from that town. They did not receive because it didn't line up with what they thought it should. If I can encourage you today, have an open heart to receive from whoever God brings around you. Because this isn't just about a minister. Whoever he brings around you, it could be a friend and he speaks through them to you. It could be a parent. And yes, it could be a minister. Simply because they would not recognize or welcome his visit, the future of Jerusalem would be that it would be destroyed. Do you understand when you refuse to receive through the people that God sends to you, you don't only affect your immediate circumstance, it affects beyond. When a minister brings correction or says, You know what? You need to be married. Don't sleep together, and you refuse it. You need to stick only with your wife, and you refuse it. There's a consequence. Receive. Do you know why they stoned and killed the prophets? Because prophets brought correction. Oh my goodness. Woo. I found something out. The level of your humility or your pride is directly related to how you can receive correction. If you can never receive correction, your pride is here. And guess what God said? Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. If you can receive correction quickly, you're a humble person. That's just a fact. Because God corrects those he loves.